Chapter 51. 9 months earlier.
Dad?
Called Olive, knocking hard on the door. Their first meaningful attempt at reconciliation, and Michael had been a no-show at the coffee house. Olive was so pissed off that she was tracking him down to give him a piece of her mind. This was no way to treat a daughter, especially after all he'd put her through at the start of the year. What with the separation and the trespass, he was going to get an earful. She knocked again, then tried the handle. The door opened without resistance. Olive knew the family routine well enough to know the boys would be at school, and Toma and Taylor would be at the park. An open door could mean only one thing. Her useless father was hiding out at home, again. Given that he'd been the one pressing to meet her for so long, failure to show up was definitely weird, but then that was her father. Or at least, her father since he'd turned 18. Erratic, nervous, reclusive. And now, on top of that list, flaky. She entered the house, calling his name again, scouring the downstairs. It was deserted. Sighing with frustration, she descended into the basement, willing to bet her entire savings that he was in his cave, researching some new crackpot theory. But the basement was empty. Huh. Weird. Outside chance he was asleep? She moved to the upstairs bedrooms, but they were all empty too. Her eyes moved to the last room in the house. The bathroom door was ajar. A faint dripping of water on water echoed from the tiled space.
Dad?
With growing trepidation, she stepped inside. Olive screamed. Michael was slumped across the bathtub, covered in blood. Olive fell to her knees and scooped his head out of the shallow water, desperately trying to rouse him. His blood seeped into her clothes. Deathly pale, Michael murmured faintly. Olive rushed to the phone in his bedroom, hammering the dial. The operator answered immediately.
"I need an ambulance. My dad's been in an accident and he's lost a lot of blood. Please, hurry," she cried.
She slammed down the receiver, knowing they would trace the address, and rushed back to her father. Beside him, in the blood-filled tub, was a half-empty bottle of gin and a wooden strip with deep bite marks in it. Michael's forearm was bumpy and blistered where an infection had overrun his skin. At the top of his arm was a loosely fastened band of fabric soaked in blood. In his left hand was a saw. A deep gash had torn through his upper right arm. The flesh had been hacked through to the bone. Olive tried not to be sick. Leaning over the bath, she pulled the band of fabric as tight as she could. Michael wailed with pain as it pressed into his exposed nerve endings. Olive gagged as the severed flesh shifted beneath her fingers.
"Hello?" came a call from downstairs.
"Up here!"
cried Olive. She urgently dialed her mom while the paramedics whisked Michael's semi-conscious body into the ambulance. Olive climbed in with him and rode to the hospital.
"Why did you do this, Dad?"
she wept. Michael wheezed, pointing feebly at the infected skin. Olive shook her head in disbelief. The ambulance came to a halt and the rear doors opened, revealing metallic hands waiting to haul Michael's stretcher out. Behind them stood a team of medics waiting to admit him to the emergency room. As Olive climbed out, Kelsey spotted her and raced over, aghast at the bloodstains across her clothes. She wrapped her daughter in a tight embrace as they watched Michael get stretchered out. Kelsey's knees buckled as she saw her husband's severed arm.
"What have you done?"
she cried. Michael could hear medics reading his medical report somewhere above his gurney.
"Loss of blood. Risk of heart failure and brain damage unless we operate immediately."
"Michael, how could you do a thing like this? Answer me,"
wept Kelsey.
"How could you do this to us? To your kids?"
"May have to amputate."
"I never meant to," stammered Michael. "The ministry did this to me." "Dad, I found you. I know you did this to yourself,"
wept Olive.
"Yeah, to save myself from them, from their infection."
As the medic sponged away the blood, Kelsey and Olive saw the full extent of his rotting flesh.
"Why didn't you get treatment for this?"
cried Kelsey.
Then they would have known I was sick. They would have sent my letter. I had to. Stay off grid. Protect you all. It was the only way, he whispered.
Kelsey shook her head in disbelief.
You let the infection spread?
I had remedies, but the books were wrong. The herbs didn't work.
Infection spread to his nerve stems, murmured a medic.
Kelsey stared at her estranged husband in total disbelief at the pain he had chosen to endure, pain that had driven him to sever his own arm. She felt guilt that she hadn't been there to notice the signs, and she knew Olive would be feeling the same. Their absence had allowed his mental state to deteriorate in ways they had never imagined possible.
You both believe me, right? Said Michael. If the ministry knew I was sick, my letter would have come.
He was fading in and out of consciousness as the medics worked frantically to stabilize the bleeding. Olive tore herself away, unable to bear another moment of it. Kelsey stared at her mutilated partner, broken.
How could you do this to us? She whispered.
Michael stirred, beckoning her closer with a feeble finger twitch. She forced her way past the medical automatons to his side, pressing her ear to his lips.
I'm sorry. So sorry, my love. I didn't want to die.